Welcome to the Phoenix Unlimited Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to a new episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. It's been a bit since the last one, but I got one that I hope everybody enjoys for today on this nice sunny Sunday. It's sunny, a little cloudy, but pretty nice outside. And it's not freezing or tornadoes on us yet for the day, at least. So, nice Sunday so far. So hope everybody's having a good Sunday. And also, since the last podcast, we moved our gym to the new location. It's awesome on so many levels. And just want to say thank you for everybody who helped with that and everybody who supported us and came along with the move. We thought we were going to lose a significant number of people, but we actually barely lost anybody. So thank you, everybody, that stayed with us, and glad that you enjoy the training. And we got a lot of big stuff happening for this year, so I'm going to be some cool stuff. This podcast is like all the podcasts are, I'm trying to be able to scale my coaching and guidance, because I'll have these talks individually, and then important ones that need to be scaled, everybody needs to be able to hear or be able to re-listen to. I try to record. So this is not saying that the gym's doing bad at this. We're actually doing very good at this, and we're getting much better at it. But we do have some people that are not aware of this. It's mostly beginners, but there's still some experienced people and advanced people that need to work on this. And myself included, this is actually something that I heard. I put a clip on the Instagram story of Marcelo Garcia. An old clip from Art Suave, way back in the day. I remember seeing it, but I didn't quite understand it. Like now I understand it at a different degree and different level. I also put on there, Conor McGregor, Dan Gable. Dan Gable's known as like the hardest American wrestler of all time, but, it's really nice with podcasts and YouTube now that you get to see the great people, like my wrestling coaches and some people that I had that gave just incorrect advice at the time. I mean, my first jiu-jitsu coach came from a powerlifting background, so that had a direct, influence on some of the techniques and the way that things were taught. You know, a lot of when I first started training, exploding was the way to do it. And even the commentators for sports couldn't articulate or fully understand what was going on with some of the really good people. And there will be misconceptions. Again, Dan Gable, crazy hard. He is a legend for that. And everybody gets really excited about that. But then when you see the interview of him saying that it took a loss to create, to make him become an artist artist and scientist. Just becoming more technical. I think the focus on physical toughness, the toughness focus is because it's the easiest part to grasp and it's the easiest part to train. I fell into this early in my career for several years. I fell into this issue where I would lose a match and I thought my conditioning wasn't good enough or I wasn't strong enough. And that wasn't the case. There was plenty of times I just wasn't technical enough. I wasn't good enough. And at that time, the person was better than me on that day. But it's much easier to say, hey, I'm not strong enough. My conditioning's not good enough. Actually, recently having this talk with one of my students, he's pretty good, but still trying to get this point across. And it was a discussion about conditioning, and I was telling him for the last 6 months he's been training 6 days a week consistently, hasn't had injuries, hasn't had major illness, anything like that. The conditioning's probably on point. It could be a nutrition factor the day of competition with weight management, but lots of times actually the one that's the toughest one to diagnose, and you need a good coach, this is one of the reasons why you need a good coach, is if there's a technical deficiency or a technical mistake, that will also, it'll make it seem like you don't have good conditioning when it wasn't a thing of conditioning, it was inefficiency. With this student, I told him, you know, if I'm 160 pounds, if a 240 pound brand new person comes into the gym and I fight them inefficiently, I try to win in a position that is just inefficient. It's not a good place to win. I try to use explosion and instead of mechanics. I will get tired, even though I'm in good condition, far more experience. just the weight difference, and just fighting inefficiently will make you tired. So if you're not training, you know, if you're, you know, now if you've had any injuries or you're only training once or twice a week, you know, maybe, or recovering from sickness or illness, there might be a conditioning factor that's there, but the technical part is the harder part to pick out, to diagnose. And it's you know, also I'd say like Hollywood and movies, really, they might be the true culprit behind stuff, and they help, combined with normal just people, when you don't have deep understanding and experience in things, you'll kind of emphasize and focus on the things you can understand, which explosiveness or raw strength are the easiest things to understand for people with no experience. Last night, Masvidal versus Covington, you know, Covington was a significant favorite when it came to betting odds because Vegas knows what they're doing. But when it came to the fans for the UFC poll, like at one point, I think it was like, you know, 77% pick for Masvidal. And then the fight, people with experience and understand how the fight, a prediction, what happened was pretty well predicted. And you can look through that through history where his fight with Kamaru Usman, similar issues. His fight with Damian Maia, similar issues. But you know, it's how it goes. The popular, the fad stuff, the herd mentality, the larger population will get tricked and excited on shiny stuff. Takes more time to be nuanced and understand what's going on. So, but this one, this podcast is avoidance behavior in combat sports. This is gonna, I'm trying to make everybody more technical, more skillful, better. Still want you to be tough. I still want you lifting. I still want you doing conditioning, all that good stuff. But this is the part that, I think coaches, I think people talk about less. Any promo you watch, you'll see them, you know, running up and down the sand or something, whatever, doing battle ropes, stuff like that. Those all have a time and a place. But this is something I think that people don't talk about enough. So I want all of our students to know this. So, yeah. So avoidance behavior, there's lots of types of avoidance behavior. You probably know in your personal life or psychological life, just your own, you know, your own life. People do this with work or psychological traumas, things like that, but it happens in combat sports as well. How it manifests in combat sports, lots of times is in disengagement. So it's in the training room, disengagement while you're practicing, and it really hampers your growth. Couple examples, like say if you're boxing or kickboxing, jumping back, so just jumping out of the way, backing up constantly, not checking kicks, not rolling, parrying, slipping. So instead of developing defense, you know, blocking, instead of developing defense, jumping away, backing away, disengaging, fleeing the mat, that happens. When it comes to striking, going out of bounds, striking can happen as well if there's not a barrier there. Going out of bounds, for wrestling as well, going out of bounds, jiu-jitsu, going out of bounds, you know, so I had students like in a leg lock, literally turn and crawl towards the front door. So the first thing is we're deciding that, like, hey, when we're engaged, we're learning how to fight, whether it's grappling or striking, the combination of both. We are learning about fighting. First thing I'm going to say is lots of times it's very smart to, if you're in a self-defense situation, if you can get out of there, lots of times that's a smart thing to do, is to disengage, create distance, get out of there. That's smart. But in the gym, we are agreeing to engage, and we're agreeing to figure out what happens, how do we win a fight when we're engaged. So we're trying to actually roll underneath punches. We're learning how to land specific shots. A tip on this is when it comes to striking, turn your power down. You should still be able to go with speed, but if you're not good at controlling your power with your speed, turn your speed down as well. Focus on placement. We'll go into little tips and stuff. Still going on the how it comes out. Running into the group beside you. You know, every once in a while it's going to happen where you'll bump and stuff. But if you notice that you're regularly, like, starting on one part of the mat and then you're all the way across the mat, or you're the guy who's always bumping into the group beside you, you're probably the issue, probably not the other people. If you're the common, you know, like, if it's happening to you, Let's see. Exploding out of positions instead of using mechanics to move. So you know you're trapped in a position. You can't figure out. You don't know the answer. You can't figure out how to do it. So you rely on explosiveness instead of actual mechanics. Okay. So the problem is in the gym that will work in the short term. Whether it's a bridge for mount or whether it's a kicking explosion, like kicking out from a leg lock. But it's going to catch up to you eventually, at some point. And you're just not developing any skills from it. But those are all things, I guess, that you don't want to do. Okay, so again, that's jumping back. Like, that could be striking or grappling. Not checking, not rolling, not parrying, not blocking. So you're not actually using defensive skills. Evading the mat, that's when you flee the mat, when you go off of the mat. So in jiu-jitsu tournaments, you're actually disqualified if you're trapped in a submission and you go out of bounds. If it's deemed by the referee that's intentional, you're disqualified. Because you're not actually escaping the move, you're just crawling off the mat or rolling off the mat. It's also, if you think about it, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, generally the person who is backing away or the person who is having a circle constantly around the cage or the ropes is also less likely to get the judge's decision or the score of the round. They still can. You can still win on the back foot. But if you're just fleeing, if you're just disengaging, it's a sure way to lose the round. And why also, like, escaping things or dodging things, moving things, defense is not rewarded when it comes to the scoring system. Offense is rewarded because offense is more difficult. And if defense was rewarded, then everybody would just stall the entire time and then, you know, try to win the last 30 seconds. It'd be a very boring sport, but also you wouldn't actually develop good offense. So the rule mechanics there to develop so that offense gets better, it's more exciting. But you're actually engaging instead of playing tag. Let's see. Depending on the sport, they have different engagement rules and stuff. But it's a common trait. So what's the problem with avoidance behavior? A couple of things I went over. It catches you. It will catch you eventually. So you could do this with wrestling, where it's like you just pull guard, you never work on takedowns. That's going to catch up to you eventually. You can, when it comes to leg locks, you only kick out, you spin and kick out. It's going to catch you eventually. Somebody's going to be good at it. You just choose not to learn it. Like, you're like, nope, I'm not going to learn it. I'll just avoid it in the match. It will be exposed. It is going to catch up to you eventually. When it comes to striking, like learning how to parry, never learning how to slip, never learning actually how to check a kick, all of those things are going to catch up to you eventually. You can get away with it in the gym for a little bit, but the coaching staff, if it's a good coach, is going to get on to you and it's going to fix that stuff. Maybe if the coaching staff just is not having any discipline over the program, but that's not going to be a good gym. That's not a good situation. Creates weaknesses and holes in your game, because whatever you're avoiding, you are not developing. And it's pretty obvious there, but if you're not developing it, when you get caught, the chances of you actually escaping or defending it are going to be very low. It's just a huge hole. You're deciding because you don't like something, because you're not good at it, and you lose at it, and it's frustrating because you're choosing to avoid it. You are actively creating a weakness and a hole in your own game. Promotes ego training. What I mean by this is, your day is defined by, you know, how well you do in every practice. How well you do in a practice is, of course, going to affect you. I'm not telling you to just like, oh, I don't care if I lose. Like, no, you know, people don't like to lose. When I play video games, I don't like to lose. But the promoting the ego training, it can make it, there's a lot of issues that come with the ego training. You'll close down your game. You'll take less risk. You'll try less things, which will make you grow slower or stagnate your growth. It'll actually become, the training will become less enjoyable, because the only way that you can have fun is if you win every single second of every single round. And if you're in a good gym, that's not going to happen. There are going to be days that you lose. You're going to stop exploring, and exploring not only causes growth, but exploring is really fun. To me, when I train, when I do like exploration rounds, I'm trying to find new moves. It reminds me, it makes my brain kind of feel like, like a child again. Like, you know, a lot of life is monotonous and boring and just the same old, but the same thing can happen when you're training, whether it's boxing, kickboxing, wrestling. You can do the same thing, and that's not going to be fun. But activating the exploratory part of your brain makes us feel good. It's a fun, enjoyable feeling. Yeah, the ego training also, like, your temper's going to flare up more. You know, if you get submitted and you punch the floor or you have to cuss or something, that's an issue. Like, something's wrong with that. This is the ego training I'm talking about. Of course, there's going to be days where you just feel terrible and it's not a good day. That is going to happen. But you still have to have self-control, and also it's the framework that you're looking through. Okay. So like if you get armbarred 5 times in a practice, the perspective, if your ego is inflated or not healthy, it's out of control, you get armbarred 5 times and you maybe don't come to the gym for 2 weeks or something because you got armbarred. If you change your perspective to every single time that you got armbarred, your defense is getting better, not because your biceps getting stronger, your elbows have become more flexible, but the more iterations that you experience any situation, the better and the more skilled you get. So you acquire more experience as long as you're actually paying attention to it and you focus on the mistake you made. If you get mad, whenever you get angry, you're just going to delete that. You won't be able to actually learn a lesson from it. And the ego training also is going to cause the anger to flare up in your actual training. While you're drilling, you're going to be trying to like spar or trying to block people's moves. While you're sparring, you will actually get angry. I can see it in people's face when they get angry when they're sparring. It doesn't improve their performance. It doesn't. They usually push about 20-30% more output when it comes to horsepower and intensity. So that lasts for a certain burst, like a short burst, and then they have like a hangover of fatigue. But also, if the person's actually good during that anger, that little tantrum they let out, they can absorb that. They can counter, because there's going to be openings to counter. If they can absorb it, they can either counter and whenever you're angry, it clouds your judgment and your decision making. So when it comes to a really technical sport, like combat sports are very technical. It's not as simple as like sprinting. You're not sprinting, just not a 100-meter dash. There's way more variables you have to work on. The more angry you get, the more it clouds your judgment, and you have to be able to make decisions in a short amount of time and also adapt and make adjustments. So it's just going to make you angry, and angry, it does not help. It doesn't help. Again, went over the slows your skill growth. You're also a bad training partner. And if you're a bad training partner, you'll notice that people are not going to want to train with you. And also, good people are not going to want to train with you. Good people are not going to want to train with you because they don't want to deal with you. If you have a temper tantrum because you lose a match, then the way that you're sparring is higher chance for injuries. You know, you're kicking people in the kneecaps, you're hitting people after the bell, you're like exploding on heel hooks, or, you know, you're doing things like this, and people know what it is they're doing. They just don't always admit it. But good people are not going to train with you because you're not a good training partner. They don't want to deal with your headache, the chance of injury, and just your drama to have to deal with. So they're going to avoid you, and you need good training partners, skillful training partners, to get better. You know, you don't want to be like, you know, people say that they want this in theory, but they really don't. They like to talk about it and stuff. But if you had a gym and it was nothing but just a bunch of knuckleheads, just being stupid, that's what I'll say, just being ridiculous, they wouldn't be very good. They're not going to develop, and also they wouldn't like it either. The generally, when people do that, they like the idea if they're the biggest, strongest, best person in the room. But the second those people that say things like that, the second that someone is bigger, stronger, more technical, better than them, they change their tune. They just, you know, it's just basic bully mentality. Let's see. Yeah, bad training partner. Good people are not going to want to deal with you. You know, that obviously goes forward on a lot of things in life. People won't want to do business with you. People won't want to work with you when it comes to training. People aren't going to want to train with you. can't be done at scale. Just all you got to do is just think about whatever behavior you're doing. Like, if every single person in the gym, if every person on the mat was behaving the same way, could it still run? Could it still function? Or would it break apart? Okay. If it can't scale, if you can't multiply it, then there's good chance that something's an issue with it. It's a good chance that maybe being self-centered, being narcissistic, just things that you need to work on, that you think it's everybody else's problem. But actually, if you were to just multiply, just scale it, if everybody was doing that, you say, well, man, I wouldn't be able to train. I wouldn't be able to train consistently if people were ripping heel hooks or throwing 100% power on the right hooks or, jumping like somebody goes to like sweep you or something like that, and you just scramble and jump onto the group beside you, and you roll their ankle or you land on their head or neck. Just think if people did the exact same thing to you, it's pretty simple. How would you think about it? So now solutions. These are some tips on how to fix this, and I want everybody in the gym definitely get on board with this. Drill non-resisting, okay? All the time I see beginners where while they're drilling, they are sparring while they're drilling. Drill non-resistance. Like your partner should still be in a stance. They should still give you a certain look and moving and stuff, but you're not actively trying to stop your opponent. Even if you are trying to, like, troubleshoot and figure stuff out, it should be, like, as you're working, your partner's like, okay, what if I get the grip here? Okay, let me adjust my grip here. Let me get my grip here. But, yeah, while you're drilling, you're not being full resistance. One of the parties are not. So it's kind of silly when you see somebody, one person resisting, the other person's trying to drill, then it causes that person to start resisting. Then now it's just a really awkward, like, half, like, it's just an awkward, not actually a sparring session. It's just an awkward, like a ugly sparring session. Generally, beginners do that the most, where they resist while they're drilling. So if you're a beginner, that's one that you want to work on ASAP. Study and watch higher skill level people. By studying them and watching them, whether it's matches or drilling, training. Now we're lucky on YouTube. You can study so much. You can see so much training footage. Just look up anybody that you really, really like, and I guarantee you could find some training footage. When I first started training, we didn't have this, so we just kind of listened to the coaches that we had at the time, but they were kind of just guessing themselves, and lots of the stuff they were doing was overtraining, too much damage. You know, there was much more steroid use, much more drug use than now. So you could kind of keep up with that type of training, but still, it's not smart for CTE and ACLs and necks and spines. It wasn't smart then, and it's not. It wasn't correct then. They just didn't know any better. And you actually see like Max Holloway talking about not sparring or sparring light. Now, if you want a great example, you can just go to B team. If you're thinking about jiu-jitsu grappling, you could go to B team jiu-jitsu. Watch their stuff. It's great because they put out their training footage, them sparring for free. And when you see that, I think like a normal person at Buffalo Wild Wings or something, honestly, would probably think it's boring. They would be like, I thought that they're, you know, they think everything's going to be crazy and doing sprints and going, you know, insane the entire time. If you do that, you'll just get beat constantly. I mean, everybody's going to turn it up on you, and then you'll honestly just be kicked out of the gym for being a hothead. But you can be a hothead for a little bit. They'll allow you to stay in the gym just long enough to put it on you. And then after they put it on you, then they'll say, okay, now you can leave. Think like you want to practice controlling your aggression. That's the biggest thing. That's one of the values of training. This is one of the things that you gain out of it. Think about aggression. Like fire, it has you while we're training, while we're in the gym, while we're practicing, your coaching, instruction, all this is teaching you how to manage, create order from chaos, and your natural, like, animal instinct, your natural human thing. It feels good to give in to chaos. It feels good to eat candy or ice cream. It feels good to do these things. It feels there, it is there, but it does not mean that it's correct. You are trying to create order from the chaos, so you have to create limitations. So it might be like isolated sparring. It might be situation rounds. There will be specific rules. It will be that you are choosing to stay engaged with your training partner, your opponent, instead of disengaging. It will be that you're turning down your punching power or, you know, these things. But to create order, you have to actually order and discipline and regiment your training. But lost it just there for a second. If you watch higher school level people, now luckily we have, you know, like B Team or the DDS, like Blue Basement. If you see their training, you see Max Holloway. I put a Conor McGregor clip up as well. Now there actually is real training. Back in the day, we just had to, my coaches and me just had to kind of guess. Let's see. Oh, that's what I was saying with the aggression. I lost my tangent on the aggression. So aggression, think of it as we're trying to learn how to control that. It's not easy. It takes practice. You got to calm down. Think of aggression like a flame or like an explosion. If an explosion is uncontrolled, it will do damage. Or I say not even uncontrolled. Just if it can be used to create damage. Definitely if it's not under control, can create damage to things you don't want it to create damage to. If you harness that explosion, you put it in a metal cylinder, it can power your vehicle. It can heat cities. So it can do really good things, but it always has to be controlled. So if you're one of the younger people, actually, I got older people in the gym too. If you think like, hey, I'm just too hard, or I just see red, or no, I don't need to control myself, or hey, they can't handle my beast mode. It's like, no, every single person has that. I have it. Every single person, every person in there feels that. We are agreeing that we're going to work on controlling it. And we're going to work together, to harness it so that we can, honestly, it teaches you how to become more deadly when you harness it. But when you first start doing this and you start controlling yourself, you are going to lose. So your initial thing is you're going to drop, your confidence is going to drop, or your skill or your perceived skill is going to drop, and never it didn't get worse. You're just going to be aware of it. And then you're taking that initial one step back so that you can take 50 steps forward. Control the explosion. The icy red guy. Yeah, this kind of change your mindset thing. I've heard that so many times. Icy red. I can't control myself. I hear it. I've heard it from several people in the military, but I've never heard it from Tim Kennedy, Special Forces. I've never heard it from Jocko Willink, Navy SEAL. Yeah, so I've never heard it from them. But it's interesting. Again, that's another avoidance behavior thing as well. Seen that not just military. I've seen a whole lot of characters all the time. Usually after that, there's an explanation of a knee injury. I would do it, but I can't because there's a knee injury from, you know, high school or something like that, or a back or spinal injury. But then at the same time, that person's like super aggro, super aggressive. It's like pretty strange that you would be so aggressive, and but at the same time, you can't even use your knee or your spine. Like maybe you should be more diplomatic and work with people. But oh well, the people that I noticed that you generally, again, you could just put Jocko or Tim Kennedy, but all of them, if you meet a world champion fighter, that when you're actually like around them hanging out, really chill, really, really calm and collected. This is more a tip. This would be for all combat sports. When you're still new at this and you're like, hey, I need more objective, like step by step, slow down. Slow down while you're sparring, while you're going live, slow down. Think go at 60-70% speed. That's a good pace to work at. 60-70%. You'll have bursts. We go bump up to 90. But yeah, 60-70%, slow down. If you think like that's, you still don't have enough control and you're gassing yourself out in 45 seconds, slow down to 40-50%. You'll see pros do that all the time, being at 40-50%, working on stuff, recovering, making it a more technical round. Pay attention to your surroundings. Don't be so self-centered and narcissistic. This is for training. For the most part, it's for safety in the gym. Look around you. Don't, if there's a group right beside you, like don't jump into them. Okay, that could be on the ground or on your feet. Don't jump into the group right beside you. You will have to steer and adjust your match. That's another part of the problem solving that you're doing. That's going to happen, though. If you're on a mat, there's going to be out of bounds. Cage, there's going to be a cage wall. And a ring, there's going to be ropes. So you have to steer your match. You have to steer your opponent. And again, that goes for striking and grappling. You steer your opponent. You need to be think. If you're not thinking that much, like, how can I get my opponent to run into my left hook? Oh, okay, there's a wall here on my right side. I can't pass the guard to the right side. What's a passing do to the left side? Yeah, if you're not thinking about that, then you need to start. Let's see. Pay attention to your matches. What I mean by that is make deliberate choices, so deliberate movements. Again, you're gonna have to slow down to do that. Sometimes you'll see more advanced people going at a fast pace, and they'll string things together. It's just because they have thousands of hours of training. If you're not at that point yet and you can't string things together and your spatial awareness isn't great yet, slow it down and be deliberate in what you're training. Make deliberate choices, conscious choices. Plenty of those are going to be incorrect and it'll be a mistake, but it's fine. If you turn to the left and you get choked, cool. You notate that. Turn to the right, you get choked, notate that. Turn forward and down, and then you escape. Cool. Now you realize an escape or an adjustment. But if you just randomly flail the mistakes you make, you won't notice that you're making mistakes. And then also, when you are successful, you won't even get anything from that because it'll be harder for you to know what you did because you weren't being deliberate. You weren't choosing to do what you did, and it's going to you're just not going to get that. That's the slowest, smooth is fast. Humble yourself, fight your ego. Just you're going to lose. If you lose, don't punch the floor, don't punch the wall. Don't cuss at your training partners, control yourself. Did you really think you're so good that everybody else that's like super loves this sport, you would just be so good, you're going to beat everybody. And when you first started or, whatever, you take a couple months off and you come back, humble yourself. Everybody gets beat. Pros get beat. Black belts get beat. World champions get beat all the time, every day, every gym, all across the world. Lots of times it's people that are not anywhere close to a world championship that believe that they shouldn't lose. So that's pretty wild. Humble yourself, fight your ego, and fight the inflation of your ego. You need to have a healthy ego. I'm not telling you to be just a blanket and lay there. You still are trying to, do techniques. You're still fighting. I see it all the time. Some of the guys that come in that are like the most muscular, like they're like the toughest dudes. They think they're the toughest dudes, and their ego just can't handle it. Like 2-3 months in, they're done. Like they just can't handle it. I see it all the time. They come in, it'll be the more muscular, the stronger the guy. I like to lift, and this is nothing again. There's plenty of really muscular like tanks that come in that don't have this mindset, but there are several that it's just a type that's common. Think that they're just going to be awesome and destroy it. Doesn't work. And they're like, sweet, cool, this is awesome. And then try, and then it's still getting beat, and then start to get frustrated. Then lots of times won't see them for a bit. They'll come back, they'll be 10 pounds heavier, they'll be stronger, but they don't do any better. I think they assume like if they go lift more that they'll do better, their performance will be better in the gym. And it doesn't happen, and then they're done. They're done for training pretty soon. If you're going through that, that's normal. It's okay. Just understand, like, the best people in the world get beat all the time. Combat sports do not have the same mindset as some other sports. Everybody gets beat. And every gym can do whatever they want to do, but the way that we run Phoenix MMA is there, you are going to be respectful and honorable when you're in the gym. You are going to, treat people with respect. You're going to be a good training partner. If not, you'll just be asked to leave and you can go somewhere else. And those gyms that don't do that, they never last. They fall apart from the inside. And they just don't get good technical growth. It's so that you actually become better as a team, as a gym, as an individual. But it also, you're not playing basketball or soccer. It's not a ball going into a net. It's something that you could die from. You could be paralyzed, you know, broken limbs, all this good stuff. So you have to take it serious and you have to control yourself. Otherwise, it won't work. So yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully that you got something out of it. Not meathead training. Okay, not meathead training. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got Indianapolis, Hunter and Jackson are going to do that. We got Nashville Open. Those are both IBJJF tournaments. All of my competitors that are looking to compete, get your IBJJF membership card. Get it. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Get it ASAP. We also got Naga coming up in Lebanon. Then we have an AGF coming up in Lebanon. So we'll have local tournaments to compete in, international tournaments to compete in. And then we have, April, MMA and kickboxing bouts as well. So last year, unofficially, we got one world title. Jackson, it was the Vegas, it's the, for white belts, they don't have world championships, but it was, the equivalent or the, you could say that, but for white belts, Jackson won that. Cameron got second place. This year, not even being over optimistic, this year we could see 3 legitimate world championships, maybe 4, 3 or 4 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world championships. So let's implement this. Let's work on it as a team, and let's make each other better. Y'all are doing great. Everybody looks amazing. Yesterday at open mat, everybody training. Once I got done, and my old man. But got tired. I sat over on the side and just watched, and put a big smile on my face because y'all look so much better than when I first started. Like when I was a white belt and blue belt, y'all look so much better than when I was a white belt and blue belt. So super proud, super excited for everybody. And hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. So you see you.